But we're going to be joined by Howard, senior writer for ESPN, a great baseball man. And Howard and I have talked a lot of baseball this year. Howard, welcome to the show today.
Marty, how are you?
I'm doing great. Nice to have you here. Bonte Hill is with me. He's been with me all year. And Matt Leland, Cody Pasby, Raph, we've got the whole crowd here. So we're looking forward to talking with you. First of all, no Dodger game today. Surprised that they pulled the plug on that? I'm not sure Bud Selig ever did that.
Well, not really surprised considering... Not really surprised considering the weather and the conditions up and down the coast. Not surprised at all. Obviously, taking precautions. You just don't want to. You know, who knows what this is going to be? So, might as well be safe.
All right, Bud Selig. Remember the Philly games with the Dodgers and the crazy weather. He never.
In the World Series.
Oh, how about that's right, the Tampa
that
Bay
World Series.
That's right,
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, very good. All right, Howard. Let's go backwards a little bit. Let's go to the game last night. Some of your thoughts about. John Lester, Cueto, just the way the Giants are playing, coming off the heels of the Syndergaard game.
Well, I think they're obviously playing great, and I think that what they're doing is you're in a battle right now. I mean, this is the can't be killed versus the wire to wire, and this is these two teams that have a certain magic about each of them, and the Giants, you had the miracle of getting in, which they weren't really supposed to do. But now they're playing as well between them and Toronto. They're two teams you don't want to face. However, it was very important for them to get that game last night. For Cueto to pitch as well as he pitched, they are the underdog. They're on the road. They needed that game. They don't usually beat themselves. And they're really small quibbles, actually. It's just that John Lester pitched a great game. And obviously... when you're going up against Chapman, I mean, you're starting that bat really, really, really early. And so it's and obviously, you know, Gillespie getting picked off. I mean, it's not that big a deal because the margins were so small. You're not going to look at the game and say, oh, they blew it. But it was a tough game to not have. And now today, you really got to get this one, even with Bumgarner waiting.
Howard, what are you expecting today with Jeff Samardzija going back to Chicago, pitching against his former team, and Kyle Hendricks, who struggled last year in the playoffs for the Cubs, but really is the favorite for the NL Cy Young Award? What is your expectations for tonight's game in Chicago?
Well, my expectation is that I think you're going to see runs. I think that what you're really going to see tonight is somebody's going to give you a performance. I don't think a Midland performance is going to do it for the Giants. I don't think they've got the power to really go up against the Cubs on the road like that. I think Samardzija has been a big name for the last couple years. You know, from Chicago to Oakland to San Fran, you know, back and then to San Francisco, and he's a guy that you've been waiting for to really give you something. If you're going to get something from him, now's the time. It reminds me a lot of what you were getting, you know, from some of these guys, like with the Cardinals a few years ago, with, you know, Jeff Suppan, or some of these names where you're not expecting big things, but you need someone to give you something. The Giants, after last night, they need a performance, and I think that if Samardzija doesn't really come through, I mean, you're asking a lot of Bumgarner to begin an 0-2 comeback. So I think that And even, I mean, not to the same degree because the contract wasn't anywhere near as big, but even in a Barry Zito sort of case, you need someone to give you something that is unexpected. Mm. He's got to come through today.
Well, great point. Howard Bryan with us of ESPN. Looking at Joe Maddon and Bochy, and I just have this feeling today with Hendricks that Maddon can't wait to show the world that he's a great manager, that he's going to pull Hendricks at just the right time and get into that bullpen and navigate his way through to Chapman. And as you say with Bochy, he's got to be in seventh game mentality here because, you know, the Giants have two chances to win one. The Cubs have two chances to win two. And I think that's the way I look at it tonight. And I think the managers have an imprint tonight.
Well, they sure do, and they're both great managers, and they're both, you know, they're chess masters out there, and they're not costing their teams. They're not, that you know, I can't remember a game in the last few years where you looked at either one of those managers and you say, hey, you cost me the game the way I think you could levy that to a lesser extent on Terry Collins, but certainly on Buck Showalter in the one game playoff with Toronto and the Orioles. And so because of that, I think that gives everyone a fair amount of confidence and calm that what the manager's doing is the right thing, and that allows you to concentrate on what you do. But I think what's really important I was wrong about this, Marty. When we talked the other day, you know, I said that the best thing that could happen to the Cubs is to put up a four spot in the first inning. And the longer it goes, the less comfortable they're going to be because of, obviously, the pressure of being the front runner and, of course, with all the history. But John Lester took all that away, and now I think they can breathe easy. They might put up 10 runs tonight because I think that one of the things that you get with a good team, with a great team, and I don't know if the Cubs are a great team, but they are as good a team as there is in this league. Once they get unhinged, they can start to really flow. I think that's why I think Samardzija, I think how he starts is so important, because this would have been a really different game had the Giants been able to steal that one last night, because then all of a sudden you start to think about it. I mean, let's face it. Let's just be honest. The Chicago Cubs are supposed to win the World Series this year. That's it. Game over. And I remember talking to Brian Cashman about this, and he was telling me about 98, how when they finally came through after winning 114 games, that it was just a relief. And he went back to that game four against the Indians on the road, down 2-1, and he's thinking, this is it. And that would have been a great amount of pressure to put on the Cubs to make them think. But right now, winning a 1-0 game and being at home, they might have the wind at their back right now. So that's why I keep harping on Samardzija.
Yeah, no, I agree. The Giants need this one. As you said, you don't want to. It's a 5-game series, Howard. You've covered them when you were out here with the A's. You know what a 5-game series, how it turns around. You just have to win a game. And all of a
That's
sudden,
right.
Everything turns around. Just win a game, and everything turns around. But you don't want to go.
Especially this one, Marty, because if you get this one now, if you're the Cubs, you're going to San Francisco,
right.
And you got the big man waiting for you. You got Bumgarner waiting for you. And all of a sudden, that changes.
Yeah.
That changes that dynamic. And so that's why this game is going to be fascinating. It's going to be amazing to watch because everybody knows the stakes.
Mm.
And the stakes on one side, if you're the Cubs, you're thinking, hey, you know, we get this, we can roll. And then now Bumgarner doesn't really matter that much because we can lose that game and we can still finish it. Or we can run up his pitch count and get him out of there and make it a bullpen game. But if you're a 1-1, now you got to deal with him maybe going 9 on you. You got to deal with him giving you that, you know, that performance once again, and I think that changes everything. And if it does go that way, now suddenly in a short series, you might be facing elimination. So this is a huge game, believe it or not.
Mm, I love it. Love it.
Howard, from a former Gator to another former Gator, I want to talk about your native Boston Red Sox. What is the pulse out there in Boston right now? You got Hanley Ramirez guaranteeing a game 5. You got David Price talking about he actually has 2 postseason wins, even though it's not as a starting pitcher. What is the temperature right now in Boston?
Well, I think that this is one of the things that we always say when we get into this is, like, don't be so sure, right? Don't be so sure. We get into the postseason and everybody's talking about all the storylines of a Red Sox-Cubs World Series and Theo versus the Red Sox and Cubs versus the Red Sox and the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, you go out and get punched in the mouth twice in Cleveland against, you know, by Terry Francona, who you ran out of town, who I'm sure he hasn't forgotten this. And you got Mike Napoli and Coco Crisp, both former Red Sox on that team. So there's all kinds of great storylines there. And I think that if you're the Red Sox, if you're the Red Sox, you're looking at this and you're going, okay, for everything that we did this year and all that we've done in terms of pulling away this season and creating space for ourselves and finally starting to look like we were supposed to look coming out of spring training, our season is resting on Clay Buchholz, the guy we pretty much ran out. He was in the bullpen. He wasn't even they were close to dropping him and getting rid of him completely. I don't think they're panicking, but they should panic. Two things hit me with the Red Sox. The first thing that hit me was, if they go out, and they go out quickly, if they go out in 3 or 4, if this doesn't get back to Cleveland, and even if it does, if they go out in the division series, essentially what you had was a team that really sort of had its head above water all season. They were pretty good all season. And then they had an 11-game win streak, and they were one of those teams that peaked. They peaked in the third week of September when you need to peak in October. But the second thing that hit me about the Red Sox, too, is that, like it or not, as we keep talking about these performances and who these guys are, the bottom line is where there's a Madison Bumgarner or where there's a Syndergaard, you gave David Price $217 million to be a guy he's never been in the postseason. And if they go out quickly, he's never had to deal with that the way he's going to have to deal with that aftermath in Boston. It's one thing to not get it done in Toronto. It's one thing not to get it done in Tampa or Detroit. Quite another thing to have 217 and to not get it done in Boston. Very interesting aftermath if they don't come through and make a series out of this.
You're so right. Howard Bryan always expresses it beautifully. You compared David Price to Don Newcomb yesterday. I like that. Don Newcomb couldn't beat the Yankees in a very, very similar comparison.
Well, you know what it is about? There are certain guys who have another gear, and obviously people who play the game, they'll tell you this. They don't need me to say it. And I think the thing with Price is he's such a good pitcher. He's a very good pitcher. But what he doesn't have is he doesn't have a postseason level. David Price in June is pretty much the same David Price that you get in July, which is pretty much the same David Price you get in October. And what that means is that sometimes he has it, sometimes he doesn't. But you don't get that extra, that thing that Bumgarner has, that thing that El Duque had and that Tion had and that Cueto showed last night, where you put me in and we're not losing.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have that when he gets to the mound. Remember last year against Kansas City, he had the big lead, or maybe it was Texas, he had the big lead and then couldn't finish. And it's a really weird thing because you remember how he came on the scene. It was in relief, ALCS, Game 7 against the Red Sox, and he shut him down. So you know he's got it in him, but suddenly, the last few years, he has not had it. And you know how that works. We saw it with Barry Bonds. You see it with all kinds of players that when that postseason, we saw it with A-Rod, when that postseason lack of success starts to steamroll, it can really get inside of your head. And once again, the only way to fix it is to get out there and deal.
Wow, 217 large for David Price. I thought the Dodger win yesterday was huge because Kershaw does not, they won't bring him back on short rest. They've already said that. They're rained out today. Anyway, they lose their travel day. But now the Nationals have to consider if they're down 2-1, do you go to Joe Ross or maybe bring Scherzer back on short rest? I thought it was a big win yesterday for the Dodgers.
Well, it's a huge win. I don't know if this is going to make sense, Marty, but it's a worse loss than it was a big win for the Dodgers. And what I mean by that is because the Nationals are depleted, they need to win games. They need to get as many good things happening for them as they can because they don't have any margin. Because they're injured and they don't have the numbers. I think that if the Dodgers had lost that game, well, you know, they're on the road anyway. They're supposed to lose at least one of them. They're not gonna sweep through the postseason. But the Nationals, okay, they can get a split, and of course they can win on the road as well. But they don't have a lot of great things going for them. You didn't get a great season out of Bryce Harper. You don't have, you had Scherzer on the mound, obviously, and he didn't get it done. So now, just like in a similar but different situation to the Giants, now you need somebody to give you something. You need someone to give you something that maybe you're not expecting. And that's entirely possible, but it's a position that you really didn't want to be in at home. I hate to say it. It would not surprise me if the Nationals went out pretty quickly.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree with you, Howard. Let's talk about Texas real quick. Sorry to cut you off here, Marty, but Texas went all in at the trade deadline. Got Jonathan Lucroy, Carlos Beltran. They had their two big studs pitching in the first two games, and now their season rests on the long arm of Kobe Lewis. Is this franchise, should we be talking about this franchise being cursed, maybe?
Not really, because Kobe Lewis is a tough guy. I don't know what he's got left, but if he's one of those postseason guys who's going to be tough for you. He might get rocked, he might not, but he's not going to quit. He's not going to be afraid of the moment. I think the Rangers, if anything, they are a really interesting bunch because of two things. The first thing is, here's what happens when you're Major League Baseball and you don't quite know who you are. And we're talking about whether or not the division winner, or whether the wild card deserves a series or not, whether the Mets and the Giants deserved more than one game, back-to-back pennant winners. So what do you do if you're the Rangers and you've got top seed and you're just sitting around? You haven't played an important game in a week or more. So they're flat. They were flat. And it's a tough place for baseball to be in because it's not like any other sport where you've got teams, that layoff seems to really have flattened, really, really taken the wind out of them. The second thing, however, goes back to the thing that we always talk about when it comes to sports, is never underestimate a team that's got something to prove. And they went out there after Odor punched out Batista, that they didn't think they were going to see the Blue Jays again and that they had the last laugh. And the Blue Jays went in there. They wanted these guys. They had a chip on their shoulder after what happened. They've been waiting for this all season. It didn't look like it was going to happen, especially the way the Blue Jays finished the month of September. They couldn't even score. But once they got into the postseason, and once Encarnacion hits the home run against Baltimore, and now you've got Texas in your sights, the Blue Jays are playing like they want blood, like they want a sweep, like they want they are looking at Rough Meadow Door and the rest of those Texas Rangers like, you thought you got away with one, you didn't, and we're going to make you pay. I mean, they are playing with as much intensity as I've seen that team play with in a long time.
All right, beautiful. Howard, I love having you on, and really, it's just terrific getting your analysis of this thing, and you're right, tonight is a huge, huge game in this five-game series because it does change by day, but Samardzija Hendricks, we'll see what happens, but just a great review. I appreciate it.
No, it's good stuff. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Howard Bryant, ESPN senior writer. Boy, that was terrific. How about that?
That was awesome.